Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. We're so glad to see you this morning, and welcome to those that are behind that screen. I'd like to open our service this morning with a traditional Christmas carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of ages. O come, let us adore.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house today, whether we're in the room or behind the screen. Lord, I thank you for all those people that have made the effort to come before you today. And Lord, we just commit this time to you. We ask, Father, that you speak to our hearts today in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
And well, good morning and welcome to worship. It is fun to see folks coming in online here. And so thanks for sending in some greetings. But let's take a moment to greet one another. So in the room, you can kind of see a little bit of what is going on. So let's put a few greetings up on the screen. All right. Oh, very good. Hey, and actually, if you're back in the media booth, you may want to refresh the service that we are watching on our social media feed. So just want to, good to see you, Todd and Carrie Ann and Laura and Evelyn and Hillary and Heather and Lana and Cynthia and Charles from Arizona. How cool is that? And Don and Eric up in BC. It's my bro. So glad to have you all with us today. It's good to be in the Lord's house, whether we are in the Lord's house physically. And thank you for all those of you who are here in the room today, and for those who are joining us virtually as well. It's good. God is good. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you already heard a little bit about this, but one of the things that we try to do at the end of every year is something that we call a Christmas offering. And this is like an over and above gift. And so if God has especially blessed you this year and you're able to do some sort of an over and above kind of giving more than normal thing, this is the gift that we give to the world and to the community. So a third of it, as is mentioned, goes towards global mission. In this case, it's Covenant Kids Congo. A third to local benevolence, so helping families right here in the Wenatchee Valley. And a third towards new leader development. Because one of the things that Columbia Grove loves to do, and hopefully you're seeing it in the variety of faces on stages and on screens and behind cameras, and is that we love to develop leaders. We love to develop leaders. So thank you for doing that. It's the generous gifts in the past in those areas that has enabled us to do things. with that. I should mention our upcoming Christmas services. And so we have a total actually of four on the night of the 23rd. That's a Wednesday night. Good, you can see it on the screen there. 7 p.m. right here, and that's in person, and it's just in person. That service won't be online. We're just going to let it be an in-person family gathering. And then on the 24th, we have three gatherings, 5 p.m., 7 p.m., and 11:30 p.m., where we can be gathering online and interacting with one another online. So whether you are here in the building or worshiping from home, let's just connect. Let's just connect over Christmas and remember what it's all about in Jesus. And then on Christmas Day, on all our social media channels, every hour on the hour, we're going to have a devotional posting there, just hopefully to give your family some things to be thinking about throughout the day. So just invite you to join us in any of those places there. Okay, so we can take down the announcements. We can move on to some of the more immediate stuff of the day, which today is the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent. And so I want to invite the Ness family to come up and light the fourth Advent candle for us. These are candles, and more importantly, kind of scriptures behind those candles that remind us of just some of the promises of Jesus' coming as he came as a baby, and having us look forward to the day when Jesus returns as the coming king. And so these are promises of what will happen on the day that Christ returns. So let's hear these scriptures together.
Advent is my favorite time of year. I love the anticipation. There. Oh, sorry about that. Advent is my favorite time of year. I look forward to the anticipation of the birthday of Jesus. And if you think about it, we are in Advent all year long, looking forward to the second coming of our Lord. Today's reading is from Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. A little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We light this candle today to remind us that God, through his Son, is redeeming the world. We thank God for the hope he gives us, for the peace he bestows, for the joy he pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way. Will you bow your heads in prayer, please? Lord, fill us with your love as you redeem the world through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Alden Aylett. I'd like to enter into a time of prayerful worship again. I ask that you join me in worship with a heart of gratitude for the Lord that came to be here with us.
It's still a mystery to me.
a moment and just thank God that He chose to join us in creation and become human. Understands our struggles. Tell God today what you're struggling with. Let's lay it at the foot of the cross together. Jesus the Christ, born in Bethlehem. And just thank God that He really is here with us. And whether you're in the room or behind the screen, I ask that you either post or pray or both, five ways you've seen how God is truly with you. And when you've done that, when you've thought of, prayed, posted, whatever, those five things, just ask that you stand up with us today. Whether you're in the room or you're behind the screen, will you stand with us today after your five things? Father, thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Lord, help us to remember every single day, like Ayla said, every single day as we look forward to Jesus' return, that you are still here with us in everything we face. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your provision and your power and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, open our hearts and minds now to the message that you have given Andrew today. Lord, help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray all these things. And all God's people said, amen.
Well, thanks, Karen. Thanks, Elizabeth. All right, so just, yeah, that's all right. We can clap for them. It's super cool. And it's important to remember that he is here with us. Because if you were to talk to the 2019 you about Christmas and about this year and the things you were anticipating, how would that conversation go? Like, if you were to talk to yourself, the you now is to talk to the you a year ago, and you were to tell yourself then about your Christmas plans this year, what would you think of them? That's what I thought. Yeah. It's such a weird year because we can't plan. One of the reasons, and I might be wrong, one of the reasons why I think there's such a run on toilet paper, you know, this year is like, this is about the only thing we can use for as a daily planner, you know, because you need something where you can just flush your plans safely. I remember I was seeing an ad in a like a flyer for like day planners. And I was just thinking, there's an industry I don't want to be in right now. Like, that's crazy. It's just crazy how much things change. But one of the things that has just been just brought home to me, and I'm assuming to you online in your room, is this, like, my plans, they're just not so good. Like, my insight is insufficient. My context, I'm trying to find clever ways to say this. My context is permanently cramped. Like, there are just so many things that I don't know, and all those illusions of control of, you know, here's what I'm gonna do next year, here's what I'm gonna do next week, here's what's gonna happen in the future. All of those things just, you gotta have, it's a year of kind of flushed expectations, if you know what I mean. It's okay to be sad about those things. It's okay to lament. I mean, there's a reason why the Bible includes the Book of Lamentations right in, somewhere near the middle of the Bible, because it's okay to grieve losses. One of the things that, you know, as I get older, I'm learning more and more is that, you know, that the grief is actually a really healthy part of, you know, an emotional life. Especially in those areas where, you know, we become so aware of how much we don't know, that's why we need God's word in our life all the more. So there's a few things that we can really count on. And that's why today I wanted us to spend some time in a Christmas story, but in a part and an aspect of the Christmas story that, if you're like me, you've never heard. I've never heard a sermon on this before. Who here I'm 40 plus years of celebrating Christmas has heard a Christmas sermon from the Book of Revelation? Well, today you're going to. I promise it's going to be interesting. I promise. And I'm actually a little surprised I haven't heard more of this, because there is a passage in Revelation chapter 12 that gives us some insight into what was happening at that very first Christmas that also, I think, gives us some really powerful insight into some of the ways that we need to look at the world, especially in a year like 2020, with all of our planning and what happens to all of those plans. So Anyways, I have asked James Bird, he's going to join us on video, to read Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. I invite you to open up your Bibles, because after that we're going to be going through it verse by verse and just kind of unpacking this passage. But this is a passage in part, not entirely, but in part about that first Christmas. And it's a dramatic passage. And James, he's an actor, he's a dramatic guy. I said, James, just go for it, like dramatic. And so he did not disappoint. This might be the best part of the worship service I think it is. Anyways, let's hear Revelation. Open your Bibles, open them up, and let's hear Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 together.
Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod, and her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last! Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens! And you who live in the heavens, rejoice! But terror will come on the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time." Here ends the reading of the scripture of Revelations, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12.
Amen. That's how you do it, James. That's how you read the Bible. That's good. Oh, yeah. He's just kicking dragon tail the whole way through. That's good. Okay. But now, hopefully in there you started to hear there's a parallel in there, isn't there, right? Because now, I should point out before I move on that actually we have a Facebook group. If you're interested in going deeper and maybe do a deep study with some of these things, some of the symbols, join me tonight in one of the rooms there on that Facebook group. So just check me out there tonight, or you can even join that already. But so here's the thing is, and we, you know, we've had a year, we've had all these kind of unexpected events. I'm assuming as we start to hear the Christmas story, and that it helps us to hear it in a new light. Because can you imagine what Mary and Joseph were going through in that first Christmas? Like, do you really think Mary had a birth plan that, like, on my 9th month, there's going to be some governmental regulations that cause me to leave the people I wanted to be with and go spend an extended amount of time to meet every single one of my in-laws? And while I am there in a house so absolutely crowded with in-laws, I will give birth in a barn. I mean, I'm assuming that that was not Mary's birth plan. I don't know that for certain. Apparently she had a great attitude. She's a woman of outstanding faith. But I mean, we've heard these passages before, right? You know, while they were there, Luke chapter, no, this is not up on the screen, but Luke 2, 6 and 7, while they were there, the time came for a baby to be born. They gave birth to their firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. That's what she was experiencing. We're on a trip. We're at the in-laws. Bethlehem is a town of maybe 300 people until now. When thanks to government oversight and Roman regulation, Bethlehem finds itself just bursting at the seams with people. So stuffed with people that a barn is really the only place to find a private moment. And there she is. That wasn't her plan. That wasn't Joseph's plan. I can't imagine it being their plan. And yet, and here's the part that we need to hear. And yet, as these events are happening, and as they're experiencing all that they're experiencing, probably not entirely knowing what's going on, there is a whole lot more going on that they do not see. And that's the part of the story that we need to hear for ourselves as well today. As we lament change, as we say, hey, this year feels kind of wonky, this feels out of control, this was not according to plan, we need to hear this today. So, Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let's start walking through that together. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, and with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. So a few things we need to point out. In the NIV, and I'm reading from the NIV, it talks about a great sign. The New Living Translation, significant event. It's reasonable to assume that this is one of the ways that the scriptures are telling us that this is a symbolic event. That what's happening here isn't a literal event, but it is something that the Apostle John sees in the heavens that helps him and everyone who would read it to make better sense of very real literal events that are happening on earth. So that's the first thing to know. And then in a great sign appears in the heavens, and a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. So this is probably first and foremost, it's a reference to Israel. You know, the sun, the moon, the stars, that's Joseph's dream from Genesis 37, verses 9 through 11. To a certain degree, this is the fulfillment of the first promise in Scripture of the Messiah that we found in Genesis 3:15. So this is, to a certain degree, this is possibly referencing Eve, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, serpent, and you will strike his heel. But here's the other thing, is that woman is also Mary. It's also Mary. Mary is representing all of those things in this symbolic moment. It's Israel, and this is the Messiah coming out of Israel. It's the promise that God gave Eve as early as the garden. And in this moment, it's Mary. It's Mary. And she's given birth to Jesus. And there's a whole lot more going on in that moment than what she can see. Verse 3, another great sign appeared in the heavens, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its head. The tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky, flung them to earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour the child the moment it was born. Disgusting image, but yes. And that dragon, the early church, they heard this as Rome, the seven mountains of Rome. And also for us, as we look forward to that as a future event, that's the future Rome, that the same patterns of empire building will repeat in history. It's a future Rome. And the scriptures tell us later that the dragon also represents Satan. And we read in Ezekiel 28, 14 through 16, we can go into this further tonight if you're interested, you know, that as Satan is disgraced in heaven, a third of the angels go with him. And those fallen angels become, you know, they're demons. And that the dragon themselves want to destroy Jesus. So here's Mary, Joseph, they're in a barn, they're giving birth. This is not Mary's birth plan. What do we do with this? I mean, realize this is before any other dramatic events have happened, at least in the context of birth. They've had these angelic visitations. They've had really powerful dreams. But now, here they are in a very, very unfamiliar, very vulnerable, I'm assuming very unwelcome setting. What's going on? What's going on? And what this passage tells us what's going on, one of the things it's telling us is that even though, you know, for them, it just looks like here's this vulnerable moment, here's this unplanned location for a pregnancy or for a birth, in the midst of all of these things, there is a battle, there is a struggle that she cannot see, that Joseph cannot see, that they cannot see, that's happening in the heavens. This will be interesting. So think about Luke chapter 2, 9 through 13. You've probably heard this passage many, many times, but check this out. So this is you know, the angels appearing to the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Luke chapter 2, it's not on the screen. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You've heard this passage before, right? This is the Christmas story. You probably haven't thought about this before. Why were the angels there? Why were the angels there? Angels are there as messengers. Angels are probably there, you know, to witness this incredible moment, God coming to earth as a baby. The shepherds were there keeping watch over the sheep, but over the town of Bethlehem, there was something else keeping watch over them. The angels, now this is me doing a little bit of biblical speculation, so feel free to put a little asterisk around this one. This is me trying to connect the dots a little bit, so this is not 100% biblically solid, but track with me. I don't think the angels were there for choir practice. I think they were there keeping watch. Because even in this moment, this ordinary, vulnerable moment, this baby being born in a stable, being laid in a manger, there was a battle going on that they could not see. As God himself in the form of Jesus is coming to earth as a baby, and Satan and all his forces are doing everything possible to stop it. And so thousands and thousands and thousands of angels are surrounding that town, overseeing that event. And Mary and Joseph, they could have never known this. You know, that this journey to Bethlehem, it seemed like them like just some weird Roman, you know, ruling. What's going on? Why are you doing this crazy census? Why do I have to go to my in-laws? Why do I have to be? I don't even know these people. Joseph, it's 100 miles away from home. Do you really think she wanted to be there? And yet there they are. And this is, they're there as a fulfillment of the prophecies that God gave to Micah, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. It's a fulfillment to all these things, and there are thousands upon thousands of angels watching over that moment. Watching over that moment. And I believe that has something to say to us today. As we lament our changes in plans, as we lament the things that haven't gone as we anticipated, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to be frustrated. But be aware, there is very likely much more going on behind the scenes than you or I or we are aware of. And that even in the midst of our struggle, God is absolutely sovereign. And he watches over his children. Back to Revelation Verse 5, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule over all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she would be taken care of for 1,260 days. And we learn, as part of the attempts on Jesus' life, you know, Herod would actually issue an order to have all of the male children in the vicinity of Bethlehem executed. But God would give Joseph a dream, and then they would leave Bethlehem in time, and they would flee as refugees to Egypt for a number of years until it was safe to return. I am certain this was not in Mary's birth plan. And yet, somehow, this is part of God's plan. And somehow, though, times when we get moved from one place to another and we didn't plan to go there and we didn't want to go there, I'm awfully glad that the Lord just made the way. That somehow there was no room at the inn, but there was, when it needed to be, there was room in Egypt. Our plans get thwarted, but God's plans prevail. And there is so much more going on in the moment than we can see. Here's your planner. There's so much more going on in the moment than what we see. In fact, verse 7, then a war broke out. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and dragon and his angels fought back. Verse 8, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Amen, we've seen that. He was hurled to earth, and the angels with him. And then a loud voice in heaven said, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. This is an event that will happen in the future. You know, right now, you and I, we have, and I don't even know how all this works, but somehow Satan, even in all his evil intent, he still has some access to heaven. He is the accuser. He is up there in the throne room of God on some level, somehow, however he does it, I don't know. But, you know, reminding us of all of the mistakes, all of the things that we've done wrong, all of the reasons why we haven't earned the love of God. And Jesus is there by the Holy Spirit and as the advocate, contending for us. And one day, the devil will be banished from heaven. They will be cast down. And as we read further, and we're going to get there in the upcoming weeks in Revelation chapter 20, then he'll be imprisoned in the abyss and then finally sentenced to the lake of fire. All sorts of spiritual activity happening around us that most of the time we are unaware of. But here's also where this passage helps us. It reminds us how to beat the dragon. Did you catch that? How to beat the dragon. Because that accuser, he is coming. You've hurt him. I've hurt him. You know, every time you return to that same sin, every time you know you should have done something more faithful and you just didn't, and you hear the accuser's voice in your ear, you'll never measure up. You'll never measure up. Who do you really think you are anyways? Tells us how to beat the dragon. Did you catch that? In verse 11, let's put that up. They, the brothers and sisters, the ones who have been accused, the ones who Satan has been haranguing for centuries, those followers of Jesus who are trying to be faithful, who are trying to endure, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. Did you catch that? And by the triumph by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. Even though it was Michael and thousands of angels are fighting against the dragon, somehow, you know, the Christians get some degree of credit in the whole thing. Like, we're watching from the sidelines going, yay, and, you know, we still somehow we get some credit for this. But our involvement in the battle, how our part of fighting the dragon is by the blood of the who? Blood of the what? Blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because his time is short. I want to talk about, let's put verse 11 back up on the screen. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, as we hear this, what this is reminding us of is that when we're trying to beat back the dragon in our own life, you're trying to beat back the voice of the accuser who's coming for you, who's trying to take you down, you've got to remember what's true. You've got to remember what's true. And the most foundational truth in this universe, friends, is this. Jesus died for you. For you. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for us. That's the blood of the Lamb. Remembers whose blood redeemed you. What's his name? Who gave his life on the cross for you. What's his name? Jesus. Who rose again from the dead for you. What's his name?
Jesus.
The one who stands before God in the throne room of heaven and defending you every time the accuser comes to attack. What's his name? His name is Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, this isn't to say that when we have those testimonies of here's all the things I was doing, then I met Jesus, now my life has turned around. I mean, those are good testimonies. That's a good thing. But here what I think is really being said is that no matter what happens, is that we remember this truth. That's the word of our testimony. It's not about how much you've cleaned your life up. Although those are good stories to tell, and I hope you tell them. The word of our testimony is that no matter what happens, we remind ourselves, we remind one another, and as need be, we remind the dragon what is true. What is true? What is true? That Jesus has died for you. That we hang on to that truth. It's the weirdest thing, isn't it? That we live in an age of like access to incredible amounts of information. I mean, even in the last year, we've seen more medical innovation than at almost any other point in human history. It's incredible. We have incredible information technology. We also have incredible misinformation technology. We've gotten really, really good at spinning all sorts of falsehoods and all sorts of lies, and we've seen it on all sorts of different levels, haven't we? I mean, that's a significant part of what we're trying to navigate in our culture and how to stay sane and anchored. Now, if there's one thing as Christians we can agree on, and I know that if we got too far into that conversation, we'd probably find ourselves debating some elements of truth. But there's one bedrock truth we must never, ever forget. Christ died for sinners. Your status before God is not because of you. That 2,000 years ago, God himself became a human being, came to earth, he lived and he died for human sin. And when he hung on that cross and among his final words were, "It is finished," he said that because it's true. That in that moment, your sin, everything that you and I and we have done that separate us from God was dealt with once and for all on the cross. Jesus paid it all, everything. That's the blood of the Lamb. And as we testify to that, as we remind ourselves of that, as we remind one another of that, and we remind the dragon when he comes, you know, when he's chirping in your ear and he's pulling up all the baggage from the past and trying to bring back all those bad emotions and that thing your dad said to you when you were four and that thing that your boss said to you on your final day of work or that you know, all of those things, you remind him what's true. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. That's true. So I want to close with a time of prayer. And I want to invite us actually to pray this little prayer. And maybe even to if you're online right now, and I see lots of folks in there. Post this, okay? Post this. I trust you, God. I trust you. So we pray. I'm gonna invite you to just to be thinking about those areas in your life that feel uncertain right now. And just pray into that uncertainty. This is not to try to shortcut grief or lament, and because it's okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel disappointment. It's okay to feel struggle. But into that struggle, remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself that He is closer than you think. Remind yourself that He is more involved in your situation than you, with your limited human eyes, can see. Remind yourself of what it would feel like for Mary and Joseph in those moments. They're just sitting there in a barn and watching over them. They can't even see it yet. The shepherds haven't even arrived to tell them of anything that's, you know, of what they've seen, even though what they saw was only a limited part of it. They're sitting there in the barn, and above them and around them and surrounding every moment of what they're experiencing, thousands upon thousands of angels watching over them, protecting them, keeping them in that moment. Where's God in your moments of desperation? Where's God in those times when you feel vulnerable? He's so much closer than you think. He's probably so much more active than you imagine. You just don't know. But this much we do. That Jesus loves you enough that He would come from heaven to earth to give up His life for you so that you would not be separated from God. He loves you and me and us that much. And so we can trust Him in every moment. So let's pray. And online, I invite you as well, if there's very specific prayer requests, and I'm going to lead us in a few of them, but if there's very specific prayer requests for us to be praying over today, I invite you to lift those up as well. God, we just want to come to you today in a season that sometimes feels really uncertain, with plans that just haven't turned out sometimes the ways that we envisioned. And we want to thank you that you are at work in our lives in ways that we, with our limited perspective and our limited eyesight, we just can't see. Thank you that your plans for your children are always good. Thank you that one day you are redeeming the entirety of the world with a new heaven and a new earth. That one day that dragon will be banished. One day he will be fully cast out of heaven. He'll be tossed in the abyss, and he will find his and he'll be and eventually banished in the lake of fire. You are setting wrong things right. You are making bad things better. And so, God, we trust you. I just invite you, as you think of whatever those struggles are, just whisper it under your breath, whisper it under your mask. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. And so, Lord, we lift up some of the people in our lives. We pray with Lisa for Larry and Catherine right now. Lord, we pray for our family members that don't yet know you. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with illness. Lift up especially Patty and Ben. With Hillary right now, we pray for Chris. Lord, we pray for Shannon with the passing of her mom. Be her comfort. Lord, we pray for the medical workers in our congregation that are out on the front lines right now. I especially think of those in the ICU. I'm praying for Lana. I'm praying for Michael. We pray for those one row back, ring back, for people like Lance and for Rita. Pray for other medical professionals like Ann and Anita. Lord, would you guard them? And thank you that you do. We pray for our schools, the teachers and administrators and parents. We pray for the many right now who are feeling lonely and isolated. We pray for the small businesses that are struggling. And God, we pray in the midst of all of this that your gospel would advance and that love would be seen through your people, that we would model self-sacrifice, that just like those the Christians in the book of Revelation, that we would not love our lives so much as to shrink from death, but we would lay down at times our safety and at all times our preferences so that people could know you. Lord, we pray for John as he recovers from surgery. God, I pray for my dad as he's getting ready for surgery tomorrow. I wish I could be there. And Lord, thank you that you are with us. So often, in ways that with our limited perspective, we just can't see. But God, we trust you. And just invite your friend again, whether you're in the room or at home, just whisper that prayer under your breath one more time. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see the love of God exemplified in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Our victory is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jesus gave his body. Jesus shed his blood for you. The God of the universe would see our struggle, would see our pain, would see our dilemma, and love us so much that he would join his own creation, humble himself to the point that he was so vulnerable that he would be born in a barn. Out of love for you and for me and for us. And we remember him in these elements. We testify to that truth. We anchor our souls in that truth. That's why on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, and it's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as we remember him, we remember we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We beat back the dragon with the word of our testimony. Jesus died for you. He died for you. So I want to invite us to serve one another. Now, if you're in the room and you're using one of our communion packets, it's probably not appropriate to share those packets with somebody else. And it's just really weird if you're trying to pour it in their mouth. I don't know how you'd even do that. But this is what I invite you to do. Whether you're sitting next to somebody or not, look somebody in the eye. Look somebody in the eye and say, "This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you." And if you're at home and you've got some bread and some juice somewhere, if you're communing alone, you're not alone. We're doing this together. But if you're sitting with other people, speak these words out loud to one another with whatever elements you use. Speak these words out loud to one another. Christ's body given for you. Christ's blood shed for you. Lord Jesus, help us to never forget where our salvation comes from, that we've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you that you gave your body and you shed your blood for us. We don't take that lightly. So Lord, strengthen us today as we remember what you have done. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, church. All right, church. Serve one another. Let's remember Jesus together. And I would invite us to pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. A prayer that we often call the Lord's Prayer. If you're in the room, I invite you to stand and let's speak these words out loud together. If you're watching at home, speak these words out loud together. Even if it's just you in an empty room, speak these words out loud. These are words that testify to our faith. These are words that remind us who we belong to. Remind us of whose hands we're in, and who holds our past, our present, and our future. Because you and I, we are more held than we know. And so we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Thanks for worshiping together. Thanks for worshiping together. As we go from this place, may we go as people who have been filled with that hope and assurance. God is more at work in your life. And even the circumstances of your life. than you or I or we can know at this point in our life. But one day, we will. He's closer than you think. So we can go and we can love like Jesus, starting with one another, but not ending there. We're going to put some questions on the screen at home and in the room. Invite you to take a minute or two just to talk about them a little bit. It gives a chance to process some of these scripture passages. And if you're here in the building too, there's some cards on the way out. I mean, Columbia Grove, you've done an amazing job of being isolation busters, and it's one of the ways that we've been reaching out to the assisted living homes in our valley. It makes a huge, huge difference. So Lord, as we go from this place, help us to go as people who have been fed by your word, who are reminded of who we are in you, so that we are secure enough that we have something to give to the people around us. Help us to love like Jesus in everything that we do. Thank you that your love for us it guards us, protects us, it secures us, it saves us, and that we look forward to an eternity with you one day because of your love for us. Send us in your love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for worshiping with us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.